Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, November 30th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, it's great to be back. I was so ready for today's program after having, what, 3 full days away from the radio program. It's I didn't know what to do with myself, so it's good to be back, and at least we had a decent day for gold anyway. We'll be talking a little bit about Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and to see what some of the reports are coming in on that. But today we have gold a little bit higher, up 830 at 1,065. We have silver $14.18. We have platinum down 3 at 834, with palladium down 6 at 546. The USD is still, USDX is still stronger, up 0.11 at a 100.19. And you have the crude oil down 0.13 at 41.58. And the paper markets today didn't know what direction it wanted to go until late, down 78 points, 17,719. You have the NASDAQ down 18 at 5108. The S&P was down 9 at 2080. We have basically Asian and European markets were pretty much flat. We had the big drop on Friday in the Chinese markets, but they didn't do much overnight. We had down over 5% for the Chinese stock market on Friday. Let's see if there's any other. It was nice to see Newmont Mining up 6% today. So get a little action out of those mining shares after for so long. So it's good to see that. I talked about the 10-year yield, 2.22%. The euro is 106, down 0.23. And there's a lot of reports out this week, so it could be a very active week in both the stock markets and the precious metals arena. So Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, various reports. Some said they were busy. Others say, not so much.
Yeah, there's an article from the True Activist. Says spending was at an all-time low. for Black Friday this year, and corporations lost billions. Now, I don't know that corporations lost billions, because there is another side to this, but let's just go through it a little bit. For years, Black Friday brawls and rampant materialism on the day after Thanksgiving have become a sort of twisted American celebration. However, each year, the excitement continues to die down as people reject Black Friday antics and instead do their shopping online or on other dates. According to a survey by the National Retail Federation, Black Friday attendance, now this is at brick-and-mortar stores, was down over 3% from 58.7% last year to 55.1% this year. All right, so attendance is down 3%. Survey noted that the average shopper was expected to spend $381, which was down by about 7% from the $407 spent last year. According to the group's estimate, sales slipped from $57.4 billion to $50.9 billion. That's $7 billion off. That's roughly one-seventh less dollar sales this year than last year. They offer a few NRF, I think that's the National Retail Federation president and CEO Matthew Shea. He said a strengthening economy that changes consumers' reliance on deep discounts, a highly competitive environment, early promotions, and the ability to shop 24/7 all contributed to the shift witnessed this weekend. He's saying when he says a strengthening economy that changes consumers' reliance on deep discounts, he's implying that people are saying, I'm making so much money now, I'm not even shopping for any deals. I'll just take whatever I can get and buy it without really comparing prices. I don't believe that. Highly competitive environment, I believe that. Early promotions, yeah, I believe that. The ability to shop 24/7 online is equivalent to seeing a highly competitive environment. The point behind this article, ultimately, is that people spent less at brick-and-mortar stores on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas, and the Friday, and so on. They spent less brick-and-mortar stores, but it's not yet clear, at least not to me, that they absolutely spent less in total because they're spending more on the internet. Here's another article from the Associated Press. Black Friday store sales fall as Americans buy more online. There's the deal here. Sales at retail stores on Black Friday fell to $10.4 billion this year, down 10.3% from last year. Yeah.
You know what? Who wants to go to brick-and-mortar stores anymore? I mean, you had all kinds of terror warnings out. You have all kinds of fist fights and people getting killed by going to these stores. I mean, where's the fun in that? I went to one store yesterday, and it's like you didn't even know it was Christmas in there. There was no decorations, no. I mean, it was the dreariest day of shopping I ever. And it was just like, people are rude. People are nasty. Like, what's the point? Do it online. You don't have to deal with any of that.
Well, but here's the point behind that, and I don't doubt what you're saying is true.
Well, it is.
They point out in other parts of this article, or a third one that I have here on this, and they're pointing out that they are declining by about, retail stores are losing about 10% per year on their sales during the holiday season.
That's not
10% of their annual sales, that's 10% of their holiday sales. Turns out to 2 or 3% of their annual sales are being lost. You can't lose 2 or 3% every year for too many years before you're out of business. And if they go out of business, then what is the value of
retail? That's what I mean. It's all by design. It's all by design. I mean, you can't tell me that there's this big push. Well, you can't tell me there's not a big push to get people to do online. They don't want people to go anywhere. They just want them to buy. People will buy more online because they're sitting on an uncomfortable chair in front of the computer. I'll guarantee you more people buy more online than if they actually went to the brick-and-mortar store.
Yeah, that might be, but here's one of the things about it. When they're buying online, they are shopping, and they are comparing, let's see, I can get this item at Target for X number of dollars, I can get it at Walmart for and save 25 cents on it, I can get it over at some other place else, save 85 cents on it. They are really shopping and comparing online.
Really?
Where you go to the store, and it's more impulsive. I'll just take, oh yeah, that's what I was looking for, let's take that. And they're not necessarily as price sensitive. What this means is even the stores that are selling online, because they're competing against other online dealers, they're going to find their profits margins shrinking and shrinking if they want to make the sale. They're going to make less money off of this. And the other point is that through all of this, after several years of these declines, businesses located in the brick-and-mortar stores will tend toward bankruptcy. The occupancy rates in brick-and-mortar stores will decline. The value of commercial retail stores will decline, pushing commercial real estate prices lower. Now,
I'll guarantee you, if you had a brick-and-mortar store that had people in there that actually waited on people like they used to, and they actually had festive and so forth, I'll guarantee you they would probably sell more in the brick-and-mortar store than they would online. But it's just it's all about shopping anymore. They've taken everything away, and it's just all about anymore.
Yeah,
and it's just
they're materialistic, but they are also squeezed for how much money do they have?
I think they got more.
I mean, they have to be careful about how much money they spend because it hasn't been a good several years, really. It's not like we're sitting here and all anticipating, boy, I can't wait till next year. We'll make even more money next year than we did this year.
I have
People
a question.
Don't have that
for you.
Level of optimism, therefore they're pinching pennies. Everyone is going to be, there's a problem here, and it flows in part just from the recession that never seems to have completely ended.
And I agree with that. I mean, you know, people, but on the other hand, I read one story that they were talking about Macy's. And they started shopping at 7:30 p.m. and they wrapped it up at 5:30 a.m. Friday. Who can shop from 7:30 p.m. in the evening till 5:30 a.m.?
Well, you don't have to be there the whole time. It's not required. They won't. They'll let you out of the store before 5:30 a.m. Just because you started up at 7:30 or whatever it was p.m. doesn't mean you have to stay for the whole deal. You can go in and leave earlier, and other people can come in later.
They were shopping from 7:30 p.m., but that's not the point of the story. But you are going to see more online and also more online shopping and buying, and it's almost the same thing as we're going to see much more of these robots taking over positions people, too. I mean, it's all this computer age. Oh, it isn't technology grand, folks.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, the Amazon business model, so far as I know, has so far failed to generate a profit.
Right.
Amazon has not yet generated a profit, but it has grown, just grown and grown. And I'm sure part of the reason they haven't generated a profit is they are reinvesting every dollar they can beg, borrow, or steal or earn in order to capture, make Amazon bigger and bigger and bigger and so on. Despite the fact it hasn't generated a profit, the Amazon business model, which includes massive warehouses but virtually no brick-and-mortar stores, appears to be the wave of the future. We're going to see a time when retail businesses will be relatively rare. We'll never get away from them completely. I won't argue that. But retail businesses, I mean, I expect to still do grocery shopping, but even that may be a mistake. I may be mistaken. But here's another article that goes along with this. Amazon unveils new drone prototype for 30-minute deliveries. Google seeks drone deliveries by 2017. Google is going to be delivering by drone, or at least they plan to, within 2 years. All right, Amazon is perhaps moving a little quicker than that. They've got a picture of the drone, and there's a video you can look at. And Amazon unveils new hybrid drone prototype to make deliveries within 30 minutes. Place an order, and one of these drones will drop the order in your backyard within a half hour. Now, you'll pay an extra premium for it, that's for sure. But regardless, this is something extraordinary. This new drone can travel up to 50... can travel up to 15 miles at high speed. They expect they can deliver packages to customers within the 15 miles. They can deliver them within 30 minutes of an order. The drone can fly up to 60 miles per hour, and it weighs under 55 pounds. Now, Google is going to try to do something similar on its own. What this is telling me is if retail stores are being threatened, the brick-and-mortar stores are threatened by the Internet, then it follows that UPS, Federal Express, and the U.S. Post Office may also be threatened by drones. I can remember back in the 1950s, I used to watch a cartoon series called The Jetsons. I never much cared for it. It was crudely drawn, and I didn't think it was particularly funny. But nevertheless, it was there. A lot of people watched The Jetsons, and it was about a marvelous, futuristic lifestyle. Again, I'd never liked that cartoon series, but I never expected to live like a Jetson. I didn't expect that world would happen in my time. I thought it was just fanciful nonsense. Now it appears that you and I may be on the verge of a Jetsons-like life existence. We'll all be quite fantastic, but I'm not sure that I'm going to really like being one of the Jetsons. Maybe I'm just too old to get it. But changes seem to be happening at a rate that are almost impossible to comprehend or even keep up with. Life is something, becoming something like an LSD experience. I mean, it's just moving past you so fast. You're going to have drones dropping packages in your backyard within the next couple of years. You're going to be able to order things and have them delivered in less time than it would take you to get out, get in a car, drive to town, shop, get in line, find the product you're looking for, get in line, pay for the product, get in the car and come home. No, you don't. They'll have drones dropping it to you without even having to go out and get in your car. My problem with all of this wonderful Jetsons lifestyle is this. If all the products are made in China, they close down most of the retail stores and replace the truck drivers at UPS with drones, who's going to have a job? Will we all be on welfare? And maybe that's where we're headed. But if almost no one has jobs, who will be able to afford the Jetson lifestyle that, I don't know. I begin to wonder. I'm trying to think of what the song was for the Jetsons, Melody. Did you hear the Jetsons, or did you see the Jetsons cartoons when you were back in the...
Yes.
You did. Do you remember the song?
No, I don't.
Well, I don't either, so I guess I can't criticize you for having a bad memory, Melody. But
I can remember the Flintstones.
Everybody remembers the Flintstones. That was on my high school graduation exam. You had to be able to sing the Flintstones song.
No, okay.
Uh-huh. In any case, the world is changing, and Black Friday is an illustration of that fact. We've got brick-and-mortar stores are doing less business. This year, they did less business last year. They did less business the year before that. And we are watching a decline in the brick-and-mortar stores. And all by itself, that has big implications for who has businesses, who functions as, who has a job as a clerk, as a, you know, and the price of retail commercial space. What's that? Real estate. What's that? What's going to happen to that? Then we've got Google and Amazon proposing to deliver packages within 30 minutes by means of drones. I mean, it really is like something out of Buck Rogers and the 25th century or something. You know, I thought it was going to take a little longer to get to Buck Rogers, but apparently not. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. We will be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we were talking during the break, after 33 years, Christmas in Washington has been canceled. For more than three decades and five administrations, Christmas in Washington, it was a holiday special that was always attended by the first family, is not coming back. And it wasn't done by the president or anything. It was it was produced by TNT, and I guess they didn't have some sort of a sponsor for it. They were looking for
Santa Claus.
They should be, but after last year's show, they said it would no longer broadcast, ended a 15-year partnership, and they didn't find another partner. So, you know, it's some people might think that's silly. Some people might think it's, you know, what's the point? You know, that's no big deal. But you know what? To me, it's just, you know, it's here we are. You know, it's just another sign of the times. And,
I don't think Congress cares about Christmas as long as they have lobbyists. Who needs Christmas, Melody?
Well,
their
stockings
will be filled.
Well, I get that. And I'm not talking about politicians. But I mean, here is just another sign that, to elaborate on it for 20 minutes. But, you know, here's just something, just a little story that popped up. And, no one says Merry Christmas anymore. Everybody knows that. Everything, it's taken out. Just like when I went, did a little bit of shopping. It was like, is it really even Christmas? I mean, there was no
lights, no treats. Well, no, it's not Christmas. One of the things I can remember as a child, going back, 50, 60 years ago, I can remember we did our Christmas shopping. We'd go out, we were chasing around trying to do Christmas shopping the night or two before Christmas. I can remember that. Now we've got Christmas. You know, it is so commercialized. Well, I don't know. Are we really going to miss Christmas any more than we miss Secretary's Day?
Well, that's because you're a guy.
Buy some flowers, buy some stuff, spend some money. I don't know. Is there any spirit of Christmas left right now?
You know what, Al? Christmas was for children. And I can remember as a child, it did start. There was the Christmas parade after Thanksgiving. That's when you first saw Rudolph. That was when you first saw Santa Claus. It was, you know, it wasn't about shopping. It wasn't about buying. It was about the season. And but it did. The lights were turned on. I mean, you had your Christmas lights up, and Thanksgiving night was the night you turned it on. That's when the lights came on. As the town, as a community, it was something that was very much different than it is today. It just wasn't about shopping. And I mean, we were poor. We didn't do a lot of shopping when I was little. I mean, our parents, you know, we didn't get to write a Christmas list of what we wanted. We didn't have four pages of things that we wanted filled with toys. You know, Miles, we got things that we needed. You know, clothes for school, socks, underwear. We got things like that. Our stockings were filled with oranges and nuts and candy. You know, it wasn't filled with little iPods and iPhones.
It would be obsolete or at least second rate within about 90 days when the next one comes out from Samsung or something like that.
Well, be that it may, but I mean,
slicker than the one you got.
So yeah, when you see this little thing, it's you know, it's not a big deal, but it's like, yeah, no, let's just push something else away, you know, and we'll see if the, you know, if it ever does come back. But
well, Melody, all I can say is they're taking the commerce out of Christmas. It used to be just at first it was a Christian holiday. They took the Christ out of it. Now they're kind of taking the commerce out of it, or at least the internet is taking the commerce out of Christmas. No point to putting up any decorations at your brick and mortar stores because nobody's going there anymore anyway. We're just going to do all our shopping on the internet.
What's next?
Oh, here's one from the. This is today. They announced the IMF agrees to include China's renminbi or yuan in the benchmark special drawing rights currency basket. International Monetary Fund agreed Monday to allow the Chinese yuan to add it into its reserve currency basket. Now, this is interesting to me because, first off, you're going to have to ask yourself, is there a difference between the IMF's reserve currency basket, also known as the special drawing rights, and the dollar status as world reserve currency? And the answer is yes. The dollar is part of the IMF's reserve currency basket, but the dollar is by itself the predominant world reserve currency. There's a difference between the two of these. Still, there's been talk about replacing the dollar as the primary world reserve currency, and most of that talk is focused on using special drawing rights issued by the IMF. In other words, they're going to use this reserve currency basket. It's going to be used as the backbone for a new world reserve currency. At least that's a proposal, all right? Some people are talking about it with apparent they're serious about it. And could it be that adding the Chinese yuan to the IMF's reserve currency basket is a preliminary and necessary step toward replacing the fiat dollar as world reserve currency? With the IMF's reserve currency basket and special drawing rights. Is this a preliminary step? Does this signal this? I don't know that to be true. I'm speculating. That's all I'm offering right now is speculation on this. But if I recall correctly, the Chinese yuan was considered for membership in the IMF's reserve currency basket just last August, just over 3 months ago, and it was rejected at that time. If I recall correctly, the U.S. government was a primary force behind the IMF's decision to reject the yuan for the reserve currency basket, the IMF reserve currency basket, last August. More, if I recall correctly, China was told in August that it would be several years before the yuan was again considered for the inclusion in the IMF's reserve currency basket. 3 months ago. Yeah, I may not be recalling correctly because I just looked the story up. The story just appeared. I became aware of the story just half hour or so before, maybe an hour before the program began. I can't verify my recollections on this. My recollections might be wrong. And as President Bush might have said, this would be Bush the Junior, I may have misremembered some of my recollections. But if my recollections are roughly correct, I'm left to ask, why has the IMS changed its mind about including China's yuan in just over 3 months ago? What has happened, and or what is happening, and or what is about to happen that's so important that it overcomes the U.S. government's previous objection to the yuan in less than 4 months? I look at this, and maybe it's insignificant. I don't know what the great significance of this is. But I look at it and think, you know, that's odd. That signals to me that something strange is going on here. Does the inclusion of Chinese yuan signal that the IMF's reserve currency basket and special drawing rights will in the near future assume some or all of the dollar's current role as world reserve currency? Maybe. We don't know that to be true. It's a speculation, but maybe. The CNBC article continues. It says the decision, which marks another step in China, in global economic problem emergence for China, and I'd add perhaps by implication the United States global economic decline, maybe, came after the IMF evaluated the Asian nation's standing as exporter and yuan's role as freely usable currency. In a statement, IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde noted that yuan's inclusion is a clear representation of reforms taking place in China. I don't know that there have been any extraordinary reforms in the last 90 to 120 days. What's happened that's in China that should change things since August? The continuation and deepening of these efforts will bring about a more robust international monetary and financial system, which in turn will support the growth and stability of China and the global economy. That's from Lagarde. Well, that's just so much hot air, if you ask me. A more robust international monetary and financial system. Well, yeah, but if that's what we're going to have, this, if China is going to add a certain amount of robustness, if there is such a word, and international and financial stability, it implies that the current system right now is not so robust. It implies that it's not so stable. And it implies we're not just taking China because they're good, we're taking China because there's something going on that's wrong at this time, and China may be able to offset some of that, some of whatever it is that's wrong. And I can't help, you know, can't help wondering, if somebody's saying there's a problem with the dollar here, is that the, they're not saying it, but is that the implication? The addition of the yuan or renminbi, that's also the term they use for the Chinese currency, will take effect next October. All right, well, there's good news in that. It's not going to happen right now. It's not going to happen for a year. So insofar as I am speculating that maybe the inclusion of the yuan, particularly after it was rejected just 100 days ago or thereabouts, the inclusion of the yuan is not going to take place till October. So my little conspiracy theories are perhaps unreliable. And we've got at least a year to go before anything. Judging by this, it implies that it'll be at least a year before anything happens to the U.S. dollar where it might be replaced by special drawing rights, or at least compromised by special drawing rights of the IMF. Lagarde in the United States had supported the inclusion of the yuan in the basket known as special drawing rights. It will join euro, yen, pound, and dollar in the reserves basket. The yuan will have about 11% of the weighting in the special drawing rights basket. If the yuan is going to have 11% of the SDR's weighting, the special drawing rights weighting, it follows that that 11% is going to be subtracted from one or more of the four currencies that currently comprise the SDR's weighting. Huh? I wonder how much of that SDR, how much of that 11% is coming from the current weighting in the SDR basket. How much of that is coming from the whatever percentage is held by the United States? The IMF said the yuan's inclusion will make the SDR more diverse and representative of the international community. That's more smoke and mirrors, from my opinion. The basket determines the currency mix for countries like Greece when the IMF disperses financial aid. The decision to add the yuan will likely increase the demand for the currency. If the demand for the yuan is going up, there's going to be a demand for that currency. It follows a demand for some other currency. Perhaps the dollar must be going down. Again, the good news is that if they don't plan to include China in the SDR reserve basket until October of next year, which incidentally would be about a month before the next presidential election, it's unlikely that any dramatic event will happen before then to significantly diminish or even destroy the U.S. dollar status as world reserve currency. So, I don't know. I look at this information and I wonder, is this news? Is it worthy of speculation? And does it signify that something major is headed our way? Or is this just another one of those things? Certain amount of white noise. Melody, do you think this is white noise, or do you think it's news worth considering?
Well, what China did in August, they did introduce a new mechanism for settling the government exchange rate, and that's what led their currency to drop. What was it? 3.5%. You know, that's how they got it. That's what happened. But they're promising that it won't happen again, that they don't want to devalue it. They're trying to build up some sort of,
reputation. Are they dragging China in to prevent China from devaluing its currency further?
It is very possible. It is very possible. Because I can't remember the exact timing or the exact date that they did that dropped, but it was about the same time that the IMF said that they weren't going. I think they set this new mechanism after the IMF had said, you know, we're going to reconsider you another year from now. Then I think they devalued their currency, but I'm not sure which came first. But it was in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, China has come out previously and said they're looking for an international currency. And by adding their currency to this basket, I'm not so sure they want to be the quote-unquote reserve currency. I don't think the Chinese currency is going to replace the dollar, but I think they will create an international currency. They will create a trade unit. And I think that trade unit, which I said for ages and ages, will probably be backed by gold by some percentage. So
it may be.
That's how I see it, and I've been saying it for years. They have to have, when every country has a fiat currency, and they can manipulate it at will, you need something to bring that together. Because it's all about international trade anymore. And they're going to have to fix their problem. And their problem is these currencies are, you know, manipulated at will. So what are they going to do? They're going to have to create a trade unit, and they're going to have to back it by gold. And that's...
I think one of China's problems is just the power of the United States. From their perspective, they'd like to see the United States less powerful. And that power lies to a great extent on the United States dollar being recognized as world reserve currency. Not the only one, but primarily it's still 80% anyway, U.S. dollar, and nothing really in the wings to replace it. If they could do anything to diminish the United States dollar's role as world reserve currency, the dollar would become less valuable, the United States would theoretically become less powerful, perhaps China looks at this as an advantage, so maybe that's what's going on. We don't know. It's interesting to speculate and even fun. We don't know what the true answer is, but it's something to keep our eye on. Let's take a break for some commercials, and Melody and I will be right back Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Oh, are you finished with the... With the IMF?
Well, we can be.
Well,
you know, one of the things
we
talked about during the break, we were talking about Melody anticipates the day when there will be a single currency in the world. And I don't doubt that is a fundamental objective of the New World Order, but there's a very serious problem. And that is that each economy and region has competing financial interests and monetary interests. They are in competition because they are at different points in the business cycle. Business cycle is essentially a sine wave where a nation's economy goes up and it gets hot and it's running too hot and they want to withdraw the amount, take some of the money out of the economy in order to cool it off, and then it goes down to a bottom and it becomes, they want to add money to the bottom at the low end of the economy in order to boost it back up toward a higher element, and then it goes too high and they have to, there's a sine wave of that kind of economic activity for the gross domestic product of the United States. There's another sine wave for that kind of economic activity for Japan, another one for the European Union, another one for China. And the problem you have is these sine waves are not synchronized. And they have to be. For the New World Order, if there's going to be a New World Order, it's got to have the same problems everywhere at the same time. We've got to all be going into inflation, or we've got to all be going into deflation if the world government is going to impose its power and work it where everybody agrees that's a good deal. Well, I'll sit back. If we're all in inflation, too much inflation, the world government says, okay, let's cut down on inflation. Everyone will agree that's a good thing.
If we're all in deflation at the same time, the New World Order will say, okay, we're going to move out of deflation here. And everyone will say, yeah, that's a good thing. But the problem is, how do you get all of these business cycles to synchronize where they are all at the top at the same time, all at the bottom at the same time?
It's really easy, Al. They're going to
They're
going to purge the system, because I'll tell you what, the policies that they're being introduced now, they're not being introduced at a time when all these countries are, and economies are functioning at prime. All right.
Oh, I agree.
You have every country that is worth anything in debt, that can't pay their debts, that have economies that are failing, and it's real simple in order to push it to the degree to where, just like anything else, they will openly accept a new economic policy. You know, things are going to change, and they're going to change drastically. And that's
what we're trying
to get across to the people that listen to these programs. Things are going to change. We might not have the direct set of 1, 2, 3 and how it's going to change and when it's going to change, but I'll guarantee you, big changes are coming. Changes are going to come that you can't even fathom right now. And yeah, this is a thing where it's like, yeah, well, how are they going to do that? Well, all these countries are so bad, and all you need is a little war. All you need is a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and the next thing you know, because one thing I do know, these people are really patient.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
And they really
that.
Are patient, and they just weave their little, they build their little roads and their little webs to their tune. And in the meantime, the people of these countries, the people here in this country, guess what? We were turned into slaves, we suffer, we lose, they take every single penny that we work so hard for. And while they promote their little agenda and they do whatever they're going to do. But yeah, you're right. It's a new. It's the world order, and I believe this is part of it.
Well,
so they will
point.
Get to that. I get
here
your point.
Here is my point. No,
I
don't think
point.
You do.
I do.
No, you haven't heard my point yet. All right?
Well,
my point is that the only way I can see to bring all to synchronize all of the world's economies and get them all at the same point on the business cycle, we need a global depression, where everybody is busted flat, right? And if Japan is in depression, and we're in depression, and the European Union is in depression, China's in depression, and basically the whole world collapses into depression. When that happens, we all go to bottom at the same time. And then,
exactly,
if there's something like the New World Order in a position of power to say, well, I'll tell you what, we can kind of jack this thing up a little bit, we can stimulate the whole world at the same time, the whole world will go along with the program. But my point is that because we are on different business cycles, different sine waves for our GDP, we're at the top when somebody else is at the bottom and so on. You can't resolve that without hurting one country very badly, and the other country will be much improved. They won't go along with that unless they are all busted flat in the first place, which suggests to me that it's possible that the New World Order, in order to come into full bloom, effect, and power, it's going to have to collapse the global economy in the first place.
I guess we're not that far away from that, are we?
No.
I thought it was... Exactly. I mean, hey, we can blame it on global warming. I mean, hey, they say, you know, global warming... who knows? You know, but the point is, these problems, all these creations, all the adding, bringing China in, allowing China to do what they're... All of this is all building up to their little old plan to bring everything together. And it's, if you have eyes to see, it's there. And it's not going to be good for us. Well, the world is going to change. Not good for anyone.
It won't be good for anybody. I mean, it's going to be a great sacrifice. Everyone is going, if assuming that my notion on this is correct, we're going to see a global depression that is going
to
cause millions.
As far as I'm concerned, we already have it.
Oh, we have a depression, but it's not to the extent that I'm anticipating. It hasn't. We have a global recession right now.
Recession.
All right. We're getting along. I'm eating on a regular basis. America's doing okay. Europe is doing okay. We have some problems. Yeah, things are not great. But in what I'm suggesting is things are going to have to be universally bad, where every economy collapses to down to its bottom level at the same time. And then, when everybody is busted flat, you can't even count on when your next meal is coming from, it's at that point that people will agree if the New World Order comes in and they say, we can save you. We can put a chicken in every pot. All right? All you got to do is support us. The world will largely go along with the program.
It's not any different.
First, they have to suffer in a way that we probably haven't seen in this country since the Civil War.
And it's not any different from our retirement accounts and from everything else. We know that there's been legislation talked about. We know there's been legislation written about. And when you have a stock market that drops from 18,000 to back to 6,000 once again, people will say, take it and just give me my little annuity payment, you know, so I don't have to worry about taking care of myself anymore. Taking care of my money is just too hard to do. So I'm going to give it to you, Mr. Government, and you take care of it. Just give me my monthly check. People will line up to sign the paperwork for it because they've, you know, they've been losing. They comes back, they lose, they come back, and they're being set up to accept the final.
I agree with that. Basically, I agree with that. But even then, this won't be an automatic where people are just going to jump in on it. I think the only way you can do it is everybody's got to be broken down flat. But the point then, if the New World Order is going to exist, I don't see how it's going to be able to maintain power unless it recognizes or at least advocates that everyone on the face of the earth has the same standard of living. I don't think the New World Order is going to be able to sit back and say, well, we're going to keep the United States at its standard of living, and those of you living in Africa, you're going to live like, you know, monkeys in the jungle, but we're not going to give you any more than you had in the past. The only way this is going to, I won't say the only way, but a high probability that they're going to want ultimately to make everyone on Earth have the same standard of living. Now, that means that the people who are currently living in poverty, in Asia, for example, or Africa, or wherever, they're going to be, yay, we're going to get some of the Europeans' money. We're going to get some of the gringos' money. All right? We're going to get some of the Japanese money. We'll make those rich SOBs pay. Well, they'll be happy to go along with the New World Order. But if you happen to be in one of the countries populated by the rich SOBs, you're going to watch your standard of living decline dramatically. You are going to leave a legacy to your children and your grandchildren of poverty and subservience and maybe even slavery. And that's going to head your way. And I don't sit back and apologize for whatever wealth the Western world has acquired as compared to, you know, the third world nations and so on. I don't mean that anybody who's rich is a good man and the rest of that sort of thing, but I do mean that much of the wealth that's been achieved by the West has been achieved by virtue of a culture, a particular culture that the third world doesn't either can't or won't embrace. All right? And I can't think of his last name right now. Pat wrote a book, famous commentator and whatever, wrote a book, and he talked about Christendom. That's where what passes for civilization today, that is what laid the foundation for what passes for civilization globally, for technological advancement. It's all sprung out of the Christian world of Europe, the Christian world of the United States, the Christian world of a few other countries. Christendom was actually the foundation, and I'm going to argue that the reason for our prosperity flows from that culture, and we've forgotten it. And we're being led to believe that if somebody doesn't have any money, it's not because they have a bad system of values, or because they're lazy or incompetent, or their culture prevents them from having the right values needed to prosper. They're arguing that if they don't have the right money, it's because they're being oppressed. I'm saying, no, it's not. It's because you're choosing to live with a particular culture that is contrary to your own best interests. And insofar as you want to make that choice and you want to embrace something other than what it, the Christendom that we find in Europe and we find in the United States. Now, we don't have it to the same extent we did. We are coasting like a ship at sea that is without any power. The momentum of our movement keeps the ship moving, but it's not under power, it's not under control. We've lost much of that culture, we've lost awareness of that culture, and as we have, we are now going to be susceptible to losing the prosperity that once flowed from that culture. Well, my point is, the New World Order will bring us to another culture that will be more in line with the third, with that of the Third World. And if that's what Americans want, or if that's what they're willing to accept, or if they're unwilling to fight for whatever they've had in the past and what they might want for the future, well, then we're going to go in, we're going to become third world citizens too. And there will be ultimately a kind of homogenization of the planet. And the poor people will go anywhere. Anyone has a culture where you have sufficient discipline and work ethic and whatever else it takes to generate prosperity, go ahead, do it in your city. Do it in your family. Do it in your state, your nation, wherever. And the poor people just flood in. As soon as you manage to figure, if you figure out how to become prosperous, the poor will flood. They will fly in like locusts. And they will insist on their right to share everything that you've earned. And they'll argue that you earned it because you got it because you are racist or whatever. And the truth is, you got it because you are culturalists. You embraced a particular culture that was successful in generating prosperity. Well, New World Order is not going to recognize the culture that has been Christendom. It can't stand it. It'll come up with some other cock and bull story, and as a result, we will all, if we embrace the New World Order, if it comes to pass, we will all live in a kind of universal poverty. And it won't be fun, and it won't make for an extended life expectancy. And if we allow that to happen, that will be our legacy to our children and grandchildren. We'll just have to tell them, we were too busy watching TV. We didn't have time to fight for Christendom. We didn't have time to fight for liberty. We were watching the Cardassians. Which, for those of you, if there's any of you who don't know, the Cardassians are not a space race on Star Trek. They're just
should
a couple
be.
Of people. I understand. They probably should be. But, in any case, we live in interesting times. Things are changing rapidly. It's important for us to try to find fundamentals, understand them, and make choices and be prepared to fight to defend those choices. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.